Good morning and welcome to this gathering of our Bridge family. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions as we begin this morning. And the first one is actually the title for today's sermon. My first question for you on a very personal level, I pray it's a passionately personal level for you. I want to ask you if you have thought about this question. Who needs grace, God, and God's word? Who needs grace, God, and God's word? When was the last time you thought about that? And more importantly, when did you think about it on a very personal level? You see, we're going to continue on in our series entitled Perspective. We're going to continue on our walk through Psalm 119. And today, while I had originally planned for us to walk through verses 17 through 24, we're actually going to focus in just on verse 17, and even there, just the first half of verse 17. Let me ask you, if you would, to pray with me, and then we'll press in. Lord, please come to us now and open up our ears. Open up our eyes. Open up our arms. Open up our hands that we will let go of that which we may want to cling to. And ultimately, Lord, open up our hearts that we will not only hear you, but that we will heed you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, friends, let me first share with you God's word. It is Psalm 119, verse 17, that says, and note this, it's a prayerful request. Be bountiful with your servant. That's the first half of verse 17, and it's where we'll camp. Be bountiful, or deal bountifully with your servant. Now, the verse continues to give purpose and says, so that I may live and keep your word. But I want us to just focus on, look at this, deal bountifully with your servant. And I want to note quickly seven aspects to these opening words. And I pray, again, that this gets personal, that when you ask the question, who needs grace? Well, the psalmist right here in verse 17 tells us anyone who would read, believe, and embrace this psalm would say, I need grace. I'm praying, be bountiful. Lord, deal bountifully with me, your servant. And notice here, it is a prayer. And we've said this, according to Matthew Henry, this psalm is not a preaching as much as it is a prayer. As we've said, it's not as much a teaching as it is a touching of our hearts. Now, in the context of these opening words from verse 17, the seven things that I'd like you to see is that, number one, we're talking about a prayer. This is, yet again, a personal, passionate prayer. Number two, we've seen from the very beginning of Psalm 119 that this prayer is pointing to a promise. Those who are blessed, those who will walk in and keep the word, the will, and the ways of God will be blessed. That was a promise. We've also seen that there's a passion here. Verse 5 showed us the crying out, oh Lord, oh, we have a want to walk in the word, that we have a want to be a people who worship. So we've seen it's a prayer. It involves a promise. It also involves this passion, this want to, and it's a want to and a passion for purity. As we saw last week in verse 9, the psalmist has brought to us a divine question and God has offered a divine answer. How is a young man to keep his way pure? And the answer was clear, that we do this by guarding our way according to the scriptures. Well, now we see in verse 17, as we're opening up, we see that there is a power. It's for a person and it's for a purpose. And those are the last three. And this is where I'd like us to spend the bulk of our time today, to see that the power comes from God's amazing grace. Grace always comes first. Who needs God's grace? Everyone needs God's grace. Who needs God's word? Well, the person that we see described here, the servant of God. If you're going to be a servant, you're going to serve. And I say this to you, those who don't serve God are not God's servants. If you don't serve, you're not a servant. I can't say that enough, especially in our day and in our culture of pluralism and relativism and perversion, where we've changed definitions. Friend, I pray that you will see that all of us need God's grace. The power comes from God's grace. And who is that power for? The servants of God. And what is the purpose of that power for the servants? It's that we may serve. I know that's going to sound in some circles pretty radical, but God has given us his power by grace as his servants that we may serve. We've been given the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being his witnesses. That's Acts 1:8. I pray that you see the cause. I pray that you see the effect of what it is to receive grace. You see, those who have received saving grace share saving grace. Those who have been saved to serve are sent as servants. These are so true and so simple, the biblical truths that God has given us in his word, and yet these are perversions that have been lost. I pray that you will see in the opening words of verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that we may live and keep your word. But today I just want to camp out on what it is to be this servant, who it is that is God's servant, what servants do to serve, that you will deeply and rightly understand this part of God's word, that you will rightly understand this God of this word. I invite you to come. Come and see. In fact, come and gaze upon the Lord and then respond. Respond by grace, by sharing grace. This is going to be a day that may challenge some, but I pray that in the conviction will come a cleansing that will lead us all to a greater Christ-likeness. I want to ask you to watch this component from 13 years ago and then listen to the closing worship songs, the songs that will be a continuation of what you've heard in this message. See the timelessness of God, his grace, his word, his mission, and his people. Amen and amen.
I want to welcome you to the closing week of our series that we have entitled Doulos, Servants of God. If you remember, and if you've been with us, we were going through the book of Revelation, and we hit the halfway mark. Literally, the closing of the 11th chapter of a 22-chapter book. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, we came to a point that led us into this series because we heard John speaking now, talking about end times, the thing that everybody looks forward to in the book of Revelation. Oh yeah, tell me all the juicy stuff. How's it going to end? What happens? And I stopped us because God stopped me and said, I want you to walk these people through a deeper sense of understanding of this verse. Revelation 11, verse 18, because therein we saw John speaking on behalf of God, looking at the end time scenario, literally the end of times. And what God's word says is the time is now. The time to begin to reward those who have been the true servants, doulos of God, the saints, those who have reverenced God's name. And at the same time, it is now that we will begin to destroy those who have been destroying the world, destroying the kingdom of God. And what God said to me there and what I've shared with you now for 6 weeks is that there's a sad reality in that most people don't understand who those two groups really are, especially in the churches. There are a lot of people who are highly religious who understand that vocabulary but have no clue to what the true definitions are behind the verbiage. I shared with you as kind of an underpinning to this series, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where Jesus says that on that day, meaning the end of times, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do, act, appear to be a Christian? And Jesus said that on that day, I will say to them, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. And I say that not to scare people, but that's God's word. That's Jesus speaking. And it serves this one purpose, at least in our context. It's to say that at judgment time, at end of days, there will be people who are going to think that they're heading to heaven, who are going to be shocked to find out that they've been playing a game all along, and that partial Christian is like partial pregnant. It does not exist. Jesus is saying, either you are with me or you are against me. He says that either you are going to help me gather people to me, or the only other default position, regardless of what you say your intentions are, regardless of what the person that you're listening to says, regardless to what interpretation you've taken from the Bible, if you are not truly helping Jesus gather, he says, then you are scattering. No matter how religious you come across, you are either going to be one of the servants who Revelation 11:18 says begins to be rewarded at that point, or you're one of the default people who is scattering, and you will be destroyed. You'll be separated from Christ for all of eternity in a very real hell. This entire Doulos series centers not on you or me. I want you to understand that we spend a lot of time, 6 weeks counting today, focusing in on doulos. You say, well, that's my part. That's correct, because it's important that we understand our part. But it's not about you or me. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. And we started in week one when we defined things and saw that for every doulos, there must be a kurios. That's the word that in your Bible, in the Greek, when you see Lord in the New Testament with a capital L, it's kurios. There must be a Lord in order for there to be a servant or a slave. For every doulos, there's a kurios. Now here's the kicker. There are tons, tons, tons of kurioses out there. There are tons of lords. But as we saw, there's only one true that will take you home to heaven. You may have a Lord that is your work. You may have a Lord that is your money. You may have a Lord that is your prestige. You may have a Lord that's your children. You may have a Lord that's your spouse. You may have a Lord that's pornography. Lots of lords out there. You might have a hybrid Lord, and you think, I'll use Jesus plus a little Eastern mysticism. You might have religion as your Lord, tradition as your Lord. There's only one true Lord, and so I say to you this week, as we begin to bring this whole series together, I want you to gaze at Jesus. If you've done it before, do it again. If you've never done it before, do it for the first time. Because all of this talk about being a servant of God is wasted breath and energy if you do not accept Christ as kurios, as your Lord. So I ask you, just take a couple of minutes and to the thoughts and to the words of this video, but most importantly, in the voice of your heart. Gaze at Jesus, and we'll build from here. Jesus, you know? Is that the Jesus of your relationship? Because if it isn't, then we're building on sand. Last week you saw a testimony where our brother Mike talked about, in the past, everything in my life was built on sand. If we don't start, when we talk about what it is to be a doulos, with understanding who Christ is as our kurios, we're wasting our time. I showed you in Ephesians 4, where Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus, said, but you know better. Praise God, you know better. You, my bridge brothers and sisters, you know the truth. And as we've seen, the truth and the truth alone, Jesus, the Christ, will set you free. Let me show you, here's a passage we've not read yet. I want to show it to you in Romans chapter 6. Just verse 17 and 18, to understand the truth of this, because some people will say, you know, that's just a little too much, this idea of being a slave for Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 17, God's word says this: thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, praise be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed. Note the distinctive. You used to be one thing, but then you wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not lukewarm, you wholeheartedly obeyed. Different than had great intentions. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Paul says, you got the truth. You got God's word. And praise God, you wholeheartedly obeyed what God instructed. And while you used to be a slave to sin, he says this in verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Depends on your perspective, but you could read that and feel like a lot of slave talk. I read a lot of freedom. I read a lot of blessing. The reality is that you're going to be a slave to someone and or something. The question is, will you be a slave to sin and self or to Jesus the Christ and be set free? The sad irony is, and many of you will know this either personally, if you're honest with yourself, or at least through others, the folks who think that they are their own masters are the ones most deeply entrenched, the most heavily convicted and held by the shackles of self and sin. Jesus said, if I can quote Brother Mike again from last week, you don't look ready yet, but when you're ready, I'll take that. I'll take those shackles from you. I'll take that bag of nails. When you are a slave to Christ, you are free. Now, one of the keys to that passage is he says, remember. Sometimes, and we have to be honest, we forget what it was like to be that slave to sin. Those that embrace what it is to be a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And I want to give you an inspirational reminder. Paul Coleman, one of my favorite singers, he's from Australia, Christian singer, wrote a song called My Brother Jack, and I want to share it with you. And I share it with you if you find yourself being very comfortable as a Christian. If you say, oh yes, I get all this, that's me. I offer this to you with this warning. Be careful that you don't become so complacent as a Christian that you lose your sensitivity to the lost, because a servant of God must have a sensitivity to those who desperately need him. And we don't carry bullhorns. We don't finger wag. We love like Jesus loves. Listen to this song and watch the video, My Brother Jack.
We got into the car with the true believers. We could tell they were by the words they spoke. They were talking of Jesus and all he was doing. They were sharing their favorites from the holy book. And I was with them every step of the way, 'cause I'm a believer saved by grace. But they didn't know it. In the back seat was my brother Jack. We traveled on a 2-hour journey, singing along the gospel radio. Then my brother Jack, quite unexpected, said, do you mind if I listen to my favorite band? And maybe it was when the singer let out a word, 4 syllables long and not ever heard. In their church circles that the believers attacked. How could you play music that evil? How could you speak of someone's mother like that? Whatever is pure and whatever is holy, we think on these things, so here's your record back. And maybe it was just 'cause we arrived at the place, my fellow believers didn't see his face. But red was the anger all over my brother Jack. Thank you. them aside just before our performance, and I told them the story of my brother Jack. He's not a believer, but one who is searching. And I told him that Jesus loves him where he's at. And when I was speaking, well, suddenly I wondered if we really knew why millions of people feel like my brother Jack. Well, they come to our churches and they're not coming back. So please God save my soul, my sweet brother Jack.
Amen. I want to tell you right up front, thank you, Bridge family, for not being that church. But you cannot teach on what it is to be a servant of God and not touch on that. There's so much religion pushing people away from Jesus. So much holier than thouism. So much holy rollerism. We need to be a people that never forget what it is to be the sinner that was saved by grace. Some of you know that my favorite quote, one that I use to describe myself, by D.T. Niles. He says, I'm just one beggar helping other beggars find bread. If you ever find yourself turning into a master chef, you got a problem. Bible talks about a weaker brother. Paul tells us that we're to remember what it is. Let me read to you what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to pick up at verse 20. I want you to remember my brother Jack. Paul says this, to Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Amen is right. Let me show you another context of what this looks like, because maybe you're not a holy roller. And praise God for that. And I shouldn't even use that term, because now I'm going to get nasty emails. But you know what I'm talking about. It's not a persuasion of Christianity. It's a wrong, pompous heart. And if that gets you to send me a letter, bring it on. Here's the other thing, though, because maybe you're not a bullhorn. But maybe you're just apathetic. Maybe you're just comfortable sitting in your own Christian cocoon. We have to care enough to become more than flexible in our faith. We need to be fluid in the expression of God's love so that God may use us to touch others. Let me show you your neighbor, your coworker, my neighbor. Let me show you a person that would be right next to any one of us tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, next week. We live on an island of about 25,000 people. If you extend out to where we come from, there's probably 50,000 people, realistically, within the direct touchability of those of us that are here. I would venture to say that somewhere in the 45 to 49,000 of those 50,000 are right here. And we're called, as Paul explains, to be whatever we have to be without compromising the gospel, to reach them and let them know Jesus loves them and there's another way. Let me show you your neighbor, coworker, family, friend, whomever. Just recognize that this person is in all of our lives. Take a look at this.
When's it gonna happen? Here I am, there you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you gonna do when you leave this building? Are you going to share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just going to bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things, but I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down, to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. Hey, it may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. But I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
Doulos, true servants of the Most High God, reach out to those people who so desperately need that saving relationship with Christ. They don't need your religion. They don't need your church attendance. They need your Jesus. Now, I promise you, if you bring your friends, your family, your co-workers, you bring people that you know and care about here, I promise you that they'll be introduced to the Jesus of the Bible. I promise you that they will have God's truth and love shared. I promise you that we will be a warm body, and that if somebody leaves not wanting Jesus, it'll be recognizing that there was at least a people that were called together that loved them, that brought truth and love to them. That's our charge. We saw last week in Ephesians chapter 4 that my job as the pastor is to equip you to be the ministers and the missionaries. Now, I co-labor with you. It's not that I stand in the back at the war room and send you out. I don't say, go there. I say, follow me. We do this together. But it's our job, if we're going to be true biblical Christians, to embrace the responsibility of that person in our lives. Because each one of us, you know as well as I do, we all have a ton of that person in our lives. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. That if we're going to be a servant of God, it is to embrace what he says is Christianity 101. Love God, love people, serve the world. You can't do those in separate parts. You can't do that in compartments. You can't do that part-time. Either you are or you aren't. God's word makes it very clear that we're to do that. You know, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he makes it very clear. He says, hey, you are not your own. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to call yourself one of mine, if you've truly been adopted into the family of God, you are not your own. You've been purchased with a price, and now you are to use your body, your time, talents, and treasures to honor God. You say, well, how much of the time? Get those cards and letters ready. All the time. Well, that's a little much. Well, you get heaven. I don't think the price can be too high. Think about it. I love the fact that Matthew and Pat and Charlie and Steve shared amazing grace with us, the old school way. If that's your song, there is no price too high. Now, if it's not your song and it's just one of those nice old hymns, then I can understand. You say, well, I don't know about that, that all the time stuff, that 24/7. You know, I'd rather a Lord that shows up like dominoes when I call him. Give me 30 minutes and then show up. That's not the way he works. A doulos is a doulos all the time. I want to show you, we're going to close. I want to show you one more video. And then I'm going to give you the kicker of the whole series. Everything's been building up to this point. And I guarantee it, none of you, most of you, are not ready for it. See, week one, there was a lot of friction when we looked at what it truly meant to be a doulos. That relationship between us as a doulos and Christ as our kurios. If you didn't like that, you're going to hate this. I started what I shared with you in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 on purpose. Because whether it's my brother Jack or the lady on the bench, Paul says, I became this, I became this, I became this. I became pliable in Christ's hands. We sang this morning, in the potter's hands. God will shape you to be who he wants you to be if you will truly surrender your life to him. He's not looking for you to do the to-do list. See, we want to say to him, forget making me be something, Jesus. I'd rather just offer you a bunch of religious doing. Look at my checklist. He says, not interested in your checklist. I'm interested in shaping you into who I want you to be. It's not until you release yourself from self to give all of you to me, that you can truly be a doulos. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And get ready. Because if you thought being a doulos to Jesus was tough, listen to what Paul says. You, as children of God, are free. You share this statement with him. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To be a doulos is to be a doulos to everyone. Your life is not only surrendered to Jesus the Christ, like Jesus. Where to live sacrificial lives. If you lose me as a pastor, if it costs my life that Osama bin Laden would hear the gospel of Christ, so be it. We are to be a doulos to everyone. Think about that for a minute. Every single person around you need you to embrace your call to be a doulos for Christ to everyone.
I'd like you to meet Christine.
I'd like you to meet Patrick. Meet Octavio.
Meet Mary and Gwen.
They're people.
People.
People with problems and hopes and dreams and lives that are as different as each person.
Christine wonders why she feels empty even though everything in her life is perfect. Gwen is wondering how she's going to get through another day. Some are grieving the loss of a loved one.
Or the end of a marriage. Others are dealing with the stresses of life.
They're all different.
But they have the same need. One need.
One need. They need answers.
Answers. Christine tries to find hers through success.
Patrick tries to run from his reality.
Mary just wants to forget, and
Gwen is just sticking to what she knows.
They're all searching for life's answers, and they all want to find truth.
Real truth.
There are 5 billion different people on this earth with one need. Truth.
The truth?
The truth of God's word.
They need the truth, God's truth.
Truth.
Patrick needs to know that the Bible is full of grieving fathers. Mary needs to know that she is never alone. Christine needs to know that true significance can only be found in Christ. And Gwen needs to hear Jesus' call to the weary. They need to know the Word whose name is Jesus. They need the Word that is true.
God's Word, God's truth.
They need the truth that will set them free.
They need to know the truth. The question is, how will they find it?
How does that sit with you? Been called to be a doulos to everyone. Christ is our kurios. I heard a pastor put it this way, and I think this is profound, and it applies in my relationship to you, and it also applies to your relationship with others. He said this, "I promise you, based on my call and the commands of Christ, that I will serve you with all that I have in me. But you must understand that you will never be my master. I have one master, one kurios. I serve an audience of one, as should you." And yet at the same time, we say, not just to our favorite people, not just to the people who look like us, act like us, talk like us, and are willing to come hang around us, but to all people, to everyone. I am a slave to everyone. Why? Because Jesus loves everyone. Listen to what Paul says at the end of chapter 10 in verse 31, the second half of it, and then going into the beginning of chapter 11. Whatever you do, I love the whatever clauses. I love the whoever clauses in the Bible. That's the stuff that eliminates all the wiggle room. Oftentimes it's in promise, which is the good news. Other times it's in commands, which is the inspiration. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Amen. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Paul starts chapter 11 with this verse. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what it all comes down to. To be a doulos, to be a servant of God, is to be committed to being Christ-like. And Jesus never cut any corners. He never rationalized or put himself first. Let me ask you this. What is going to be the legacy of your life? Will you simply be the dash between a couple of dates on a tombstone? Or will there be a legacy? Somebody say, I had 16 kids. I'll tell you what my legacy will be. The Bible says that when it comes time to stand before our Lord, he's going to take the contents of our life and he's going to burn it up. And if it's hay and stubble and chaff, so you might have a big pile of stuff, but when I put the refining fire to it, if it all goes away, you got trouble. If it turns out that that fire refines it and burns off the junk, and there stands a powerful life lived for Christ, you're going to love what happens next. And I ask you this, because nobody knows. It's a heart thing coupled with the fruit of your life. But what's the legacy of your life? What are you shooting for? What do you want to be the legacy of your life? I have been reminded this week that if I am all externally driven and I don't take good care of my family, I'll be held accountable for that too. I need to love my family. You need to love your family. But it's not an either or. We need to be awesome Christians at home. And we need to be awesome Christians in our community. And we need to be awesome Christians in our region. And we need to be awesome Christians who reach all around the world. For God so loved the world, that whosoever, that's our clause. When we sign up for the adoption and we say, Jesus, take me home. I want to be in the family of God. We sign up for his caring, his standards, his rules, his guidelines, his promises as well. But we have to embrace the fullness of what it is to be a doulos and say, Jesus, you will be my master, you and you alone. But I will be a doulos to everyone. The person that cut me off in traffic, the person who took advantage of me in a business venture, the person who's making it difficult for me at work, the person who's saying bad things about me, the person who's hurting one of my family members. It's a tough road. Make no mistake about it. And truth be known, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. But here again, that's what it is to be a doulos, to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. But I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The degree to which I'm willing to surrender my life is the degree to which I can be a sold out servant of God. Would you please join me in embracing our call to be doulos for Christ to everyone? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for sharing your word with us. I thank you for the privilege that it is to have your hand on my life, that we as a body of believers know the privilege that it is to have your blessing on us. Lord, I pray that you will burn off what remains in me that holds to self. Lord, I pray that you will burn off those things that resist a surrendered life. Lord, I pray that you will see in me a no matter what sold out servant. Jesus, we love you. We recognize that without you, we are nothing and we have nothing. I ask that you come into us, give us the want to serve you and others. Lord, that the crowd, at least here at the Bridge and in our community, will be large when it comes time for the rewarding. And when you set out to destroy those who have been destroying your kingdom, I pray that within the reach of each one of our lives, that there won't be many of those people there. Lord, let's make it very, very difficult to get to hell from Ken Island. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. was grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first of the potter.
love that will never let go of me. Through the sunshine or rain, I know where my hope is found. What you started in me, I know you will complete from the inside out. And as I fall apart, come flood this day.
On the screen, we got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket, but we keep our missions overseas. But for the hurting in our city, would we even cross the street? But we want to see the heart set free. And the tyrants kneel, the walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. Lord, it's time. I'm like the brother of the prodigal who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead. What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers and walked a mile someone's shoes? 'Cause we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel, the walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. Lord, I'm starting right here. We're the people who are called by his name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways,
He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We're the people who are called by His name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our ways, He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start.